This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasen with Noel Lim and Kus Chuang in the studio this morning. And now that the Bloomberg is up and running, here are the numbers from Bursa Malaysia.
Okay, better late than never. The KLCI is right now up by, well, just a shade, up by 1.1% to 1,509 points. Again, no surprises, the rubber glove theme continues ablaze in the market. The top four companies by way of value with a combined ringgit equivalent of 120 million ringgit on the stock market within the first 21 minutes. All the glove makers, Supermax at 766, up by 4%, Careplus at 146, up by 4%, Top Glove up by 2%, 1566, and Comfort Glove at nearly $3, up by 4% again.
And the Singapore Exchange is now at about 0.1%, just slightly in the green there. And on that note, we turn our attention to that market amidst the volatility we're seeing in the global markets. We're taking a look at stocks that have traditionally been seen as defensive and whether this still holds water in the COVID-19 era. And for some insight here, joining us on the line, Jeff Howie, market strategist at the Singapore Exchange. Now, Jeff, risk on mode seems to be the tone despite COVID-19 and the economic slowdown as the STI has recovered from its lows. So is this still an investment case for REITs, which is perceived as a defensive sector, especially since real estate is in the doldrums now?
Yeah, well, Selamat pagi, Noel, Roshan, and Chuang. The REITs were very strong last year. I mean, I know that's a good 6 months ago, which it seems like a lifetime ago, but that was a global move. You saw last year, globally REITs are up 20%, but they have globally this year declined 14%. Now, that's also been observed here. Our REITs in Singapore, they are up 26% last year. They've also averaged a very similar 13% decline, but some of the bigger REITs have been the stronger ones, and that's why our REIT indices have declined around half as much as the STI. But I should say that, to your question, firstly for investors, I think that the thing with the REITs is that the cross-asset interest rate spreads, they do remain supportive. If you look at the end of May, the yield spread of our FTSE ST REIT index forward dividend yield to the to our 10-year benchmark government bond index, that was still around 460 points, which is up from that 10-year average of just over 400 basis points. But I think looking in particular into the very diversified REIT sector, quite an interesting observation is that the five strongest REITs of our sector right through to the open this morning in the 2020 year have been, what have they been? They've been Keppel DC REIT, Mapletree Logistics Trust, Mapletree Industrial Trust, the Centre Street and Parkway Life REIT. Now, They were our strongest. They were all our strongest REITs in those first 12 weeks of 2020, right down to that major market low on the 23rd of March. So that's a good 13 weeks away. But it's worth mentioning that those five REITs, and for that matter, the Business Trust, DAS, and Retail Trust, those REITs were the most, and the Business Trust were the most defensive during the way down, and they have maintained their lead in the sector right through to this morning. And they all did, I guess one distinguishable fact is they all reported plenty of highlights in their financial statements or business updates, if you will, for the past March quarter. I think Keppel DC REIT, its March quarter DPU was up nearly 9% year-on-year. Mapletree Logistics Trust was up more than 1% year-on-year for its distribution. You saw, Ascendus REIT put out a pretty optimistic business update as well, reporting none of its properties were shut down due to COVID-19. And then Mapletree Industrial Trust, which has also joined the STI this morning, making it one of six REITs in our STI. And I should also mention Parkway Life also reported DPU had increased year on year, notwithstanding, I think it was around $850,000 for COVID-19 relief measures. So those five REITs have maintained their lead. They've also been recipient to some, I think, $400 million in net institutional inflow in the 2020 year to date.
So those five REITs are data warehousing, industrial and logistics. They did well. So what is the expected impact of work from home policies on office REITs in the longer term?
Well, I think that this is one thing with this sector here, and particularly the large office REITs that dominate our REIT sector, have been looking at for quite some time. And it's also with the retail, we've also seen that with retail investing, retail shopping as well, that the omni-channels grow and continue to expand. So, at the end of the day, the REIT managers, their important stakeholders are obviously investors, but just as important are their tenants. And I think they've been working with tenants with a number of initiatives to work with them to see how they adapt and move post COVID-19 when we're all back to normal. And I think there will be changes, and there's there's the financial statements where they've been talking about to some extent that we can read.
Yeah, Jeff, another sector which has traditionally been quite defensive is healthcare. Is there still reason to look at these companies as patients delay non-essential treatments or operations while medical tourism has come to a grinding halt?
Well, the healthcare sectors, they're very highly diversified. We've seen very sharp declines in economic output across the world. You've seen, economic policies are focused on providing stable money markets, first and foremost, with this synchronized fiscal stimulus we've seen. So the key, not just the key social risk, but the economic risk going into the second half of this year, it does remain the potential for second waves or extended first waves, if you want to call them, of COVID-19. So what we've seen quite a bit of unison in terms of the moves of healthcare stocks across the world. If you look at the top quartile of healthcare stocks by market value, they have generated median total returns, I think, around 10% in the year to date through to the Friday close. But when you look at the average total return, it is significantly higher, above 30%. And this is really due to a positive skew in performances by biotech, healthcare supplies and medical devices, possibly offsetting some of that weakness in the subsector of medical tourism, as you mentioned. Healthcare has been very strong in Singapore. Our IEDGE or healthcare index, I think, is up 34%, matching the overall average returns of the world's biggest healthcare stocks in the year to date. For us, it's like it is in Malaysia. It's driven mostly by as we say, those medical supplies, healthcare supplies. So Top Glove Corporation's gained more than 200% on our market here as well, and Riverstone as well is up more than 100%. I think up 150% year to date. If you it's not just in terms of performances, but if you look at combined turnover and investor participation in these stocks, for the IEDGE or healthcare index, the combined turnover has surged more than 300%. I think that all those stocks that make up the index, they had an average daily turnover around $7 million in 2019, and that's above $30 million so far this year. So very much like the global picture, the stocks that are leading the percentage growth in turnover or participation, Medtex, International Corp, UG Healthcare, Biolytics, Top Glove, Hyphens Pharma, and so forth. So that that key theme within the subsector of health, within the sector of healthcare, have been the subsectors of biotech, healthcare supplies, and medical devices.
Thank you, Jeff. That was Jeff Howie, Market Strategist at Singapore Exchange. We're going into the 9:30 a.m. news bulletin right now. When we come back, Pressing Matters, where Shazana Mokhtar speaks to Daniela Arau, Associate Professor of Journalism at the University of Philippines. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.